WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Friday morning. And let's go right back to the phones. 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Saffield.
How you doing?
Good. Let me give you some information.
Sure.
We're talking about stickers for I Voted.
Yes.
That was Manny's idea. Those are the children that he's working with. He's got 40 kids that's going to work the polls this time around.
That's
He's
good.
Been working all along, and it was his idea. He's got kids from local high schools and colleges that are going to be working. He's been working with them for a long time. But I heard you say if it was Manny's idea, you didn't know. Well, I'm verifying it. It was his idea, and he's doing a lot with the kids and everything.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to do, because if you can get the earlier you can get kids excited for voting, the more excited they are to actually get out there and do it. I remember I was in fifth grade during the 1988 presidential election, and we had a mock election where we walked across the street to the town hall and we voted using the same voting machines the adult uses, and it was a lot of fun, and it got me excited for that possibility, and I was looking forward to the day when I could actually cast a vote.
No, I just, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on, negative stuff with the election commission there and everything. But he's been doing a lot of work with young kids and everything for a long time. And he just didn't start this. So it was his idea. That's all I want to let the people know out there.
Much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Okay, pal. You have a nice day.
You too. And in case you didn't hear that in the last hour, there's going to be new I Voted stickers that have New Bedford themes to them that will be handed out when you vote in New Bedford on Election Day. And they were designed by local students, some elementary school students, some middle school students, high school student. And you can see the designs at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And each ward is going to have a different sticker. Now, I don't know how they're going to determine which wards get which stickers. I mean, I guess maybe the schools, located in those wards might have something to do with it. But it's going to be a pretty special thing to get that sticker then, because they are themed for New Bedford. So it's going to stand out more than just the regular typical I Voted sticker. And New Bedford is one of the communities that does the sticker. Some communities don't. I voted many times in Wareham, no sticker. But New Bedford even has the stickers for early voting, which people are proud to take a photo of. And it's a great idea, because it's such a dumb little thing. It really is. It's so silly to get so excited to put that sticker on your shirt and take a photo of it, but people do get excited for it. And anything you can do to get people excited to come out and vote, especially when you pull in 13% voter turnout in some elections, you want to do whatever you can to get people jazzed up for it. Of course, within the limits of the law. Don't be Elon Musk offering people $1 million. That's illegal. But you want to be able to come up with ideas that get people excited to vote. As I've said before, I had a problem when I was a kid going to school. I would get upset and I would get sad and I would cry when I had to go to school at first. I eventually loved school. But they came up with this idea where they had Get Along Gang stickers, and they cut them in half. And if I got on the bus without a problem, my mom stuck half the sticker on my shirt. And if I got to school without a problem, the teacher stuck the other half of the sticker on my shirt. And I don't know what it was, but something about that sticker motivated me, and it helped me break that sadness that I felt every day. So stickers can be a big motivator. And you're going to get some really cool looking ones. Again, you can see those at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, what's going on, Tim?
How you doing?
Not bad. Yeah, that sticker idea, I think it was very good. I mean, Manny's had a long history of working with kids all the way from, you know, not just at the election commission, but all the way to basketball. And
yeah,
he's been a coach for decades and decades and has influenced a lot of kids in that type of positive way. I know he gets a lot of slack or a lot of flack for at the election commission, but if you separate the two, you know, you realize that, you know, his heart is in it with like the next generation, and the fact that he's incorporating it with the election commission, his passion for the next generation, I think it's a really, really good thing. I think one thing that would be really cool is if they could like separate the stickers to the district or to the ward where that kid is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think they might have done that. I think I'm just looking at the list of the schools that might have been, and I don't know where all of them are, you know, I don't know all the ward lines of where they're all located, but it looks like that might have been the idea, is that each ward is going to kind of get the one from that student.
Yeah, because then they're going to go to Shaw's, they're going to go to the store, and they'll see somebody just wearing his sticker or her sticker. They're like, oh, I made that. And it gives them a sense of pride that he was involved or she was involved in the entire process, which would really excite them for when they get older. You know, the other thing that I wanted to call about, I thought this is old news, but it's new to me. And it's something, Chris McCarthy actually talked about it probably years ago when the, decision just came down from the Supreme Court. It's the Janus versus AFSCME decision. And I didn't even realize this. It's a 2018 decision. And it was basically said that public employees, police, DPI, teachers, they can actually opt out of paying union dues in the state of Massachusetts.
Hmm.
So, yeah, and I didn't realize that. I mean, this doesn't mean that we are a right-to-work state, because this doesn't apply to private unions or the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
But it does apply to the public sector. So if you're a police officer and you are disenchanted with your union, you can actually opt out. Now, you are still protected by the current contract. There's no need to worry about that. Your benefits are protected that you've negotiated for in the past. But going forward, obviously, if the majority of your membership opt out, it pretty much dissolves your union going forward. So it goes from a union-based system to a merit-based system. So it's something to think about. I didn't even realize it. I remember back in the day, back in 2009, when the Republicans back then, they blamed the UAW, the union, for the insolvency of GM. And they ended up calling it Government Motors and the bailout and all that stuff. So if you applied that to the public sector, if you applied that logic to the public sector, you could actually say the police union or the DPI union is responsible for a lot of the debt held by the public, held by the city. But I can almost guarantee you, a lot of those people that are in those unions say, well, not my union. That union, yes, that union caused the insolvency of the government. But my pension, the unfunded liabilities, that doesn't count. So I just find it interesting, a lot of like hypocrisy on the side of, different unions. But if you are disenchanted with your union, you can actually opt out, be completely protected by your current contract and contracts going forward, to be honest with you, as long as the majority of your membership remain in the union, you are protected by. So if you opt out, you're no longer paying union dues, but your next contract calls for a 5% raise, you're going to get a 5% raise, even though you're not technically in the union.
Hmm.
My problem with that, it makes you a free rider. That makes you no different than somebody on the public dole who's not contributing to the taxes, like an illegal immigrant. My opinion.
Well, I don't know. I see that point, but so I don't know. I think the problem with it is if you look at the city budget, for example, and they talk about it every year, the mayor talks about it, the city council talks about it. It's all these pensions and the health insurance and all of that that costs so much money. What do you think the public appetite is for that? Because we don't really hear a lot of pushback on that. You might hear about like individual things like, you know, the animal control officer getting a $50,000 bump up, like things like that will incite people. But overall, I don't hear enough from people that say, well, why are we doing this? Why are we why do they have these?
You know, when you're going to hear it,
golden level.
Golden level, big parachutes and, you know, big pay raises. And you know, when you hear about it, you don't hear about it every year. You hear about it when it's time for an override. Mm-hmm. If there's ever a discussion or a potential discussion of overrides in order to fund town employees or city employees, that's when you'll start hearing about pensions and healthcare and pay raises and all that, because nobody wants that 2.5 override. That's when you hear it. I heard it in Dartmouth way back when we were turning on off streetlights. I remember that like it was yesterday. Turning off streetlights to scare the citizens in order to pass an override. And a lot of the discussion was, well, we have a lot of unfunded liabilities with the pensions. You know, we're paying for retirees' health insurance still. You know, they're allowed to stay on health insurance going into and past 65. So that's when you hear it. Every day, you're never going to hear it because it doesn't affect them.
Yeah.
But when it starts to hit their pocketbook, that's when you'll start when you'll actually start to hear it. But if you are disenchanted, feel free, leave the union, but let it be known it's going to be costly in the future. If you become, you know, the majority are opting out, you could potentially lose your next contract where you're just insolvent and you're based on a merit based system. So it's you've got to weigh your options. But I didn't even realize that this was even a thing. I didn't even realize that the Supreme Court brought this decision down. Janus versus AFSCME is the court decision. And I know, like I said, Chris McCarthy talked about it probably back as soon as it landed with Mayor Scott Lang. Mayor Scott Lang being an astute labor lawyer, you know, he had plenty of discussion. I might be fudging up some of the numbers or any of the figures, and I'm sure, you know, Mayor Lang is shaking his head or if I'm wrong, but, you know, hopefully if, you know, this can ever come up again, I'd love to hear what his opinion on it is too.
Oh, might be time for a revisit. I'll mention it to Chris.
All right. Sounds good, Tim.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Later, bud. Bye.
508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
What's shaking, playboy?
What's going on, Lamone?
So you know how they're going.
We're having a little trouble hearing you. You're a little too low.
All right. Is this better?
Nope. Sounds exactly the same.
All right. Okay. So what they're going to do is like how they're going to get people to vote and come with a little sticker saying like I voted.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving lap dances to them, and so that's a great way of getting community support behind it and come there getting lap dances.
That's how Las Vegas gets people to come out and vote.
Well, no, that's just this year election. I think that that's just the end of like that's what happened back in like 1996 or something like that. I kind of remember back then. So, yeah, that was kind of fun, though. So they're doing it again. And so, like I said, people want to vote because they should be able to express what they're feeling and what the beliefs in. And like I said, and the way I feel is, like, you know, they're like, oh, you're a Democrat. You got to vote a strictly Democratic ticket. No, they should be able to vote whatever they like. There's people they might like that's like maybe a Republican or a Green Party character. Person there, they might be should be able to vote what they want. You know, don't you think that's a good way of doing it? They're trying to make that they're trying to pass that as a bill this year here in Nevada, so they can vote on who they want to vote. So you don't have to strictly vote on a Democratic Party ticket. You think that? I think that right there should be a good thing. But like also, if they're trying to keep it Democratic or Republicans all in the house or in power, it'll make it a problem for that. You think so? That, you know, we can't just don't vote a straight ticket.
No.
What do you think about that? And I think, like, for instance, the gentleman was talking about that earlier. I said, you know, you got a problem when Mary calls you and says you got a problem. So you know, you got a problem. Like I said, so you know, when Mary starts bugging, you better start running. So, like, I'm thinking that would be a good way to know. Has she called in yet this morning?
No, she hasn't called yet today. She's probably out taking her walk.
Oh, good, Mary. Go, Mary. Go, Mary. Go. So, I was thinking, all right, I'm for SGC, and I graded probably now, if it's 38,000, I'm just finishing up this last 250 right here, of cards and items of, I think, of just sports cards, not just sports cards, but all kinds of other cards. But I just did a thing with Dolly Madison. You know, got something, some part of her handwriting and letter, and got like a swatch of her dresses and stuff like that. No. Did you ever see what Dolly Madison looks like?
I mean, obviously, you know, paintings or drawings. You know, she was a little bit too soon for a photograph, so, or too early. Yeah,
I think they could have had some by the time before she died. You know, she was still relatively young when she was in the White House. And, you know, and it's strictly because of her that we know what George Washington looked like, literally. Is that painting that the White House was set on fire by those Brits that came and set the White House on fire in 1812? And she was the one that saved that picture that you see on the dollar bill of George Washington. And so that right there, you see, that goes to show sometimes you don't have to be that person in power to have the power. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's what everybody should realize, that, you know, just because a title may give you some power, but the whole thing about it is, if you're voting correctly or voting out there, you go out there and get into that booth, whatever, you've got that power. And I'm hoping everybody takes that opportunity to do that, you know? Even if you're not happy with the choice of people's choice of the runners up there. You know, like 4 years ago, they voted for Harambe, even though he was killed. You know, lots of people, you know that, how thousands and thousands of people didn't like the Biden or Trump, so they chose Harambe. Isn't that crazy?
That is. I got to hold you there. I got to take a break before the news. But you have
no spooky this weekend, right, brother?
No spooky this weekend, no.
Okay, I'm going to send you a picture a little later on. So you got it. So, did you see the picture I sent you yesterday after the talk?
I did, yes.
You comment on the other picture, because that's the other bad. So, yeah, I just want to tell everybody good morning and enjoy your weekend out there in New Bedford. And I'm hoping that you guys, maybe we could get Tim into some political office sometime next year, in the next 3 years, you know?
I don't know about that. All right, you have a great weekend, Lamone. We will talk to you next week.
God bless. Play on, everybody. Play on, players.
All right. That is Lamone in Las Vegas. I've got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right. I've got to go into the news with Phil, but I'm going to just hold him for one moment so I can squeeze in this call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi. Good morning. Am I on?
You are.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Hi. I heard that you were talking about the voting sticker program this morning.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just proud to have worked on that. My name is David Guadalupe. I work for the YWCA, and we partnered with the election office at New Bedford City Hall. And I'm just really, really excited to bring this program to the youth of the city, and just kind of talk about everything that we do for the youth in New Bedford. Yeah.
Yeah, what a great idea. And it's something that, you know, excites the kids and gets them ready to become civic participants and people that are eventually going to vote. And I bet you those kids, at least those six kids for sure, but probably every kid that entered is now looking forward to the first time they can go and vote and get one of those stickers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was the whole goal, just incentivizing that civic engagement, not only just with parents, but trying to do that vis-a-vis through the children. Like, you know, if we're getting the young people excited, maybe we can spur some excitement with the adults as well and with their parents, and just kind of have that conversation going, I think is really, really important. And I mean, that's what we did last year with a scavenger hunt. We incentivized the young people to go to the polls with their parents and then provide the sticker, and they win prizes and this and that. And this is just something that we've continuously tried to do within the city. And I'm just really proud of the program.
And you know, that's the thing about what it is that you do there. It's not just about, you know, the things that people would expect. It's having all these other programs that can make people better citizens and better parts of the community.
Amen, amen. And that's the focus, is just making, like you said, making people civically aware of their rights and their privileges, and hoping to, like I said, incentivize everyone to come out to the polls and exercise their civic obligation and right.
Now, maybe you have some insight into this, because the question came up before. Are these stickers, because they're going to do one for each ward, is it the student that won, do they live in that ward, and will it be the ward that they're from?
No, that's something I'm not necessarily specific. That's a really good idea, and that's a fantastic question. That's just not something I'm completely aware of. But that's a great question. Okay. I could definitely find out for you.
Well, and one other question I would have about this idea is are these stickers now going to be the stickers that are used going forward, or is this going to be an ongoing contest that will be done kind of on a you know, maybe every 4-year basis?
Yeah, well, that's what I would personally like to see. You know, definitely get with the election office on that, but that's something that I would like to see, just keeping that going, you know, keeping that spirit going. The young people have already seen what has been done, and we love to just be able to build on that, whether we build a digital art program into it or whatever the case may be. I mean, the possibility is endless, and I hope that this is something that we continuously do. Yes, that's my goal personally.
All right, well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for the information.
No, absolutely. Thank you for speaking about it and positively, and we really appreciate it, so thank you.
All right, have a good day.
All right, be well.
And we are going to go now to the news, but we can take your calls after that. 508-996-0500. Take it away, Phil Devitt.
The U.S. works with Israel on a missile attack response. The pressure is on for the presidential candidates, and the nation's oldest person dies at 115.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The United States is communicating with Israel while it prepares for an expected military response to Iran, so said Secretary of State Antony Blinken, speaking in Qatar after meetings in Israel earlier this week. He emphasized that it's not in anyone's interest to escalate. Donald Trump on the campaign trail in Arizona on Thursday. The former president spoke in the battleground state in the afternoon.
With your vote this November, we are going to fire Kamala Harris. We're going to fire her. Get the hell. We're going to fire Kamala. We're going to get her out of here.
Trump told the crowd America could face World War III if Kamala Harris is elected president. He told crowds he would end immigration and electric vehicle mandates on day one. Harris, meanwhile, hosted a star-studded rally in Georgia Thursday night.
It's either Donald Trump in there stewing over his enemies list, or me working for you, checking off list.
The vice president was preceded by Barack Obama, Bruce Springsteen, Samuel L. Jackson, and Tyler Perry, who all took the stage to endorse her campaign. The Menendez brothers may soon face a new sentence. The Los Angeles DA made the request that Eric and Lyle be resentenced, which would make them eligible for parole immediately. The brothers claim sexual and physical abuse from their father drove them to kill their parents at their Beverly Hills mansion in 1989. Elon Musk is being warned by the Justice Department that his $1 million giveaway for registered voters may be illegal. That's according to CNN, which cited people briefed on the matter. Musk announced over the weekend that his political action committee would award $1 million every day to a registered voter in swing states who signs a petition. Ozempic could lower Alzheimer's risk among those with type 2 diabetes. Brian Shook with more.
That's according to a new study using data from the CDC. Researchers at Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine studied 3 years' worth of records of almost 1 million type 2 diabetics. It found that those prescribed semaglutide, the main ingredient in Ozempic, had a 40% to 70% reduced risk of developing Alzheimer's compared to those who took other types of diabetes medications. I'm Brian Shook.
And the oldest person in the U.S. has died. Details from Mark Mayfield.
Elizabeth Francis of Houston, Texas, died Tuesday at the age of 115. The LongevaQuest database, which keeps track of the world's oldest people, says Francis was born in Louisiana during the Taft administration in 1909 and lived through two world wars and 20 U.S. presidents. She was living with her 96-year-old daughter when she died. Now, the title of oldest person in the U.S. is passed on to Naomi Whitehead of Greenville, Pennsylvania, who is 114 years old. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics beat the Washington Wizards last night, 122-102. Off to Detroit to play the Pistons on Saturday. Bruins lost to the Dallas Stars 5-2. They're home to play the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. And the New England Patriots host the New York Jets on Sunday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A sunny day here on the South Coast, set against a bright blue sky, a high of 62. On Saturday, some morning clouds and then afternoon sunshine, breezy and a high of 64. And on Sunday, mostly sunny and a high of 54. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy.
Smile in just 7 days.
Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM
News. Time to go
stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station,
Protect
WBSM.
Mode.
Get all
adding
of our content
and breaking news
alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. We're going to be checking in with Eric in the Butcher Shop in just a little bit. But right now, let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, good morning. I just like to express the gratitude for the work that Randy DeBrito does during elections and with involvement with the city. I feel that he's such a great example of a leader and somebody who really gives his, not 100, but even above during his time of work, and not just with work, but with the great balance that he has with his family. These projects that he created and implemented of having the kids involved, especially with the stickers, it's been so great to see the smile on these kids' faces, and also to see the parents bringing in the kids and having the kids get the parents involved. I think that he's doing a phenomenal job, and it's great to see somebody set a great example and also leave the ladder for those that are coming after him, especially with the youth.
Yeah, we're gonna see the results of these efforts, you know, in the coming years. I mean, right now people look at the numbers for voter turnout, but wait until you see what those numbers are going to be when these kids that are learning about these programs. Yeah, it's gonna be a nice bump up in the voter turnout.
Definitely will be. But thank you for your time, and I hope you have a great day.
Thanks, you as well. And and again, you know, the key to getting people excited about voting is to really let them know the process in the beginning. It's a daunting thing if you aren't familiar with it. The first time you go to vote, if you don't know what to do, it can be discouraging. Because you don't want to look silly. You don't want to look like you don't know what you're doing. You don't want to do something wrong. And so teaching kids and bringing them through the process was hugely helpful for me as a kid because I knew just what to expect when I finally went to vote. I was also, you know, someone who was kind of a geek about that stuff and went to Boys State and all that kind of stuff. So I was ready. I was prepared. But I think most of my, you know, contemporaries, most of my fellow students at the time, they knew what to do because we had had that kind of education. And, you know, kudos to the town of Plymouth for letting us use voting machines. I don't know if you can get away with that these days. But in those days, I don't know what they have now, but in those days, 1988, they had the pull tab, the lever that you pulled to vote. And I remember going in there and pulling on it and voting for Michael Dukakis. And why did I vote for Michael Dukakis? Because he was the only one of the two presidential candidates that year that I'd actually met before. And I was like, well, I know who George Bush is because he's the vice president, but I've never actually met him, but I've met Michael Dukakis, so I'm going to vote for him. And that was, you know, that was the extent of my political deliberation at the age of 10. But I won a poster contest in first grade for energy consumption, energy conservation. And I think my poster was, it was something like, it looked like outer space and it said something like, energy conservation is out of this world, which doesn't even make sense. But I guess I was one of the winners. And so as part of that, I got to go to the state house and have the governor sign my poster. And we got to meet in the corner office and all the kids were there and he did like the photo op with us and signed the posters and joked with our parents. He made some sort of joke about having to wear a sweater because they couldn't afford to pay the heating bill. I forget what the joke was. And then as we were leaving, they had a breakfast set up for something else that was going on in the White House. And we all ran over and grabbed like bagels and stuff and took them on the bus, even though we weren't supposed to. So that's all that I remember. But that was enough for me to say, that's who I'm going to vote for. Because I know him more than I know the other guy. Now I'm a little bit more nuanced in how I make my decisions. Although some of you might feel that I haven't really given it any more thought than I did when I was 10 years old. So 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. And again, if you are around today from 4 to 6, come on by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. They're going to have their spooky tasting with some Halloween flavors and cocktails that you can sample. And I'm going to be there hanging out. We're going to do some call-ins during the Howie Carr Show. And we're going to maybe tell some spooky ghost stories. But we'll get to chat and talk about a variety of things. You know, come and tell me your ghost story. But also come and sample some of the great stuff they're going to have. And remember, you'll get 10% off any of the things that they're sampling, as they always do at Stevie's for any of these tasting events that they do. So you can save a little money too. And you can try anything with the purple dot. You can try before you buy. I mean, just keep in mind, there's limits to the sampling. It's not unlimited. You know, for safety reasons. But you can try the Dark Arts that I'm such a fan of. Dark Arts whiskey and bourbon and rye. You can try some of the things that you've been thinking about buying, which you're like, you know, that's kind of expensive. I don't know if I want to spend all that money without knowing that I like it first. Well, that's why the purple dot is on so many items at Stevie's, and they have things that you won't find anywhere else. So come on out, have some fun with us today, 4 to 6 p.m., at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And I will see you there. We will also see you tomorrow night at the Freetown Police Department's community room in the new police station there. How long does a building have to be around before you stop calling it the new? But how many people still refer to New Bedford High School as the new high school, even though the high school is older than I am? It is 50 years old, but people will still call it the new New Bedford High School. But this is the new Freetown Police Station because it is only a couple years old. 50 years in Freetown. It takes 50 years for things to stop being new in Freetown? Yes. Okay. So you're basically still the new McCarthy.
Exactly.
Okay. So I'll be in the community room there tomorrow night talking about haunted objects. And I don't know what time they start letting people in, but I know it's going to be a packed room. So you want to make sure that you get there on time. So we'll have a great thing. It's going to happen at 6:30. Should be a great turnout. Should be a lot of fun. And if you have haunted or cursed items, bring them with you. I'll have some of my equipment there. We'll kind of run it over it and see if we pick up any anomalous readings. Doesn't mean that it's definitely haunted, but we'll see if there's anything weird going on with it. All right, I've got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Back in, and it's time to check in with Eric over at the Butcher Shop. Good morning, sir. How you doing today? Oh, let's put it back through. There we go. Now I got you on the air. How's it going today?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You guys are busy as usual, right?
Yeah, dude, always like a little rushes in the morning. Everyone wants to get in and out quick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you know, that's a good way to start the day. You know, get the shopping done out of the way, know what you're gonna have for dinner, get it all ready to go.
Yeah, you're right, brother. You're 100%.
What do you guys got going on over there today?
Dude, today's Friday, fish day. I got fried fish, I got cod fish, I got fillets fried, I got chicken ribs. Cooked, all cooked stuff. I go whatever you want, brother. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Cooked ribs ready to go? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Less headache.
Absolutely. And so, you know, this being, you know, kind of the weekend before Halloween, anything spooky planned?
Spooky, dude. Whole goddamn city's spooky, brother. No. I don't even know what to say.
You're not over there peeling grapes so you can put them in a bowl and tell the kids their eyeballs when they come and stick their hands in it?
No, Halloween ain't my thing, brother. I'll tell you, some people love it. I'm like, that's all right, whatever. It's for the kids.
Well, people should then stop over there and just get themselves some food for Halloween so that they don't have to worry about cooking, right? You guys will have stuff already pre-cooked, ready to go. Yeah. They can just have a nice dinner and not worry about dinner before they hand out the candy or go trick-or-treating.
Yeah, brother. This time of year, everybody's more focused on football, to be honest with you. I focus on the football this time of year. Halloween is, you know, what are you going to do? Halloween is Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's where the thing is. You know what I'm saying? To me, it is.
That's your busy time. And I can tell you, Sketty's coming over there to pick up some chicken wings today, she said. So she's coming to get her wings ready for the game.
Cool. I got them, brother. Whatever you want.
All right.
I got wings. I got ribeyes. I got tomahawks. I got picanha. I got chuck roast, you know, chuck roast time here. You know what I'm saying? I got the celebrity pork chops. I got burnt ends with the pork burnt ends. I got everything, brother. Ooh. Whatever you need.
All right, what are you having this weekend?
Oh, dude, you always do this to me, my man. I got to look. I'm looking. You know what? I'm going to go for a couple of porterhouses. Nice. It's got the filet on it. It's got the sirloin on it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Sounds like perfection. All right, well, you have a great week. We will check in with you next week.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you later, bro.
All right. That is Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Everything you need for the game. You can get all the great food. And, man, those ribs. Actually, the porterhouse, too. How about both? Just get both. And, of course, they've also got your beer and wine. They've got all kinds of cheeses and snacks and everything you could possibly need. So stop by the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Let me take my final break, and we'll be back in a bit. All right, that one goes out to Patrick Bateman. And we will be back on Monday. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now. Maureen Boyle will be in the house today. And then also the Hell's Angels later on. So it's going to be quite a diverse.